But we're going to kick off with the latest information and cross straight away to Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent, for an update. An extraordinary couple of hours, Simon. Are we getting any kind of clearer picture of what's happened?
I think we are now getting clarity, Clive. Let me get to that in just a second. But first of all, tell you that President Joe Biden is going to be making remarks about what has occurred at that Donald Trump rally in Pennsylvania. He'll be speaking to the traveling press pool that is with him in Delaware shortly. And obviously, we'll bring you those comments as soon as we get them. But he has issued a statement, a written statement, saying, "I have been briefed on the shooting at Donald Trump's rally in Pennsylvania. I'm grateful to hear that he's safe and doing well. I'm praying for him and his family and for all those who were at the rally as we await further information. Jill, the First Lady, of course, and I are grateful to the Secret Service for getting him to safety. There's no place for this kind of violence in America. We must unite as one nation to condemn it." So those are the immediate comments of President Biden. And as I say, he will be addressing reporters in Delaware within, we think, the next few minutes. Now, as to what took place at that rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, it now appears that the shooter was outside the security perimeter. One of the big questions, of course, would be, given that everybody attending the rally had to go through magnetometers, how could anybody get a gun into the rally? Well, it seems that the attacker was outside the security perimeter, on the roof of some kind of structure, some witnesses say a barn, overlooking the Trump rally. And indeed, some people who were outside the rally, outside the security perimeter themselves, say that they saw the shooter on the roof with some kind of a weapon, some say a rifle, and alerted Secret Service to his presence. Now, that is clearly going to become an immediate focus of the investigation into this, because under normal circumstances, all roofs overlooking big events like this would always be security screened by the Secret Service. The shots were fired. It seems that Donald Trump may not have been hit by a bullet. There are some reports that the teleprompter glass was hit by a bullet, although looking at the images, I can't see any immediate damage to the teleprompter glass, but there are some suggestions that Donald Trump was actually struck by a glass shard and that possibly the bullet damaged the screen of the teleprompter that he was using to make his speech. Either way, he was injured in his right ear. There are extraordinary images that you will have seen, many of you already, on social media, showing Donald Trump, close-ups of blood on his right ear, his face smeared with blood. He followed Secret Service protocols, in which political leaders are told by the Secret Service, if something like this ever happens, you immediately go down. So as soon as he's struck, he goes down behind the podium. The Secret Service pours in to render him assistance, but also to offer him further protection. And while they are with him down behind the podium, you can hear over the microphone Secret Service agents on their radios confirming that the shooter had been taken down, that the shooter had been neutralized. And we now know that the Secret Service says that they killed the shooter. Now, given that there were people outside the security perimeter like the attacker who had alerted the Secret Service to his presence on the roof, I think it is possible that all of these events happened in very quick succession. The shooter on the roof, the Secret Service being made aware of his presence there, the shots being fired, a brief pause, then you hear additional gunfire, which may have been, this is not confirmed, but may have been the bullets being fired by the Secret Service in the direction of the shooter on the roof. We know from the Butler County District Attorney that at least two other people have been hit by the shooter in this incident, or hit by bullets in this incident. One, an attendee at the rally who has died, and the second, an attendee at the rally who is in apparently serious condition. Former President Donald Trump rushed away once he walks to his armored car, rushed away by the Secret Service for medical evaluation. A statement from his campaign saying that he is fine, but before he left that stage, he stands up and you can see his bloodstained face, his clothes disheveled, and he pumps his fist into the air, an act of defiance. He then appears to be mouthing the word several times, fight, to members of the crowd, telling people to fight back in the face of this kind of an assault. And law enforcement officials are saying that they are now investigating this as an assassination attempt against the former president of the United States. It would be, I think I'm right in saying, the first assassination attempt of a sitting or former president of the United States since the attack on Ronald Reagan in March of 1981. I think that that is the most recent act of political violence to target a sitting or former president of the United States. But of course, as you know, Clive, this is a country with a long history of assassinations of sitting and former presidents, including, of course, John F. Kennedy, plus political attacks against people like the late Reverend Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. All of this is going to raise the temperature of this presidential election campaign at an absolutely critical juncture already in this campaign, because remember, we've all witnessed the awful couple of weeks that Joe Biden has had since his television debate with Donald Trump. And now, in the week that is about to begin, Donald Trump will be heading to Milwaukee, where on Thursday night he will formally accept the Republican Party's presidential nomination. But of course, throughout the week now, there will be focus not just on what President Trump has to say, former President Trump has to say. In fact, I think we're seeing Joe Biden now addressing reporters. Not sure if we can go to that live. I'm going to see if we can take that live.
Yeah, well, he is just making a short address. Let's have a listen.
We'll put out a statement if we don't, if I'm not able to get, if it's not convenient for you all. But the bottom line is that the Trump rally was a rally that he should have been able to be conducted peacefully without any problem. But the idea that there's political violence or violence in America like this is just unheard of. It's just not appropriate. And everybody must condemn it. Everybody. I'll keep you informed, and if I am able to speak to Donald, I'll let you know that as well. But so far, it appears he's doing well, number one. Number two, that they're thoroughly investigating what happened to anyone else in the audience. We have some reports, but not final reports. And every agency in the federal government, I'm going back to my phone to speak with the federal agencies that are being put together again to give me an updated briefing. Has anything happened? They learned any more in the last couple hours. So thank you very much, and I hope I get to speak to them tonight, and I'll get back to you if I do, okay?
Mr. President, do you think there was an assassination attempt?
I don't know enough. I have an opinion, but I don't have any facts. So I want to make sure we have all the facts before I make any more comments. Thank you.
Are you worried, President? Was the security failing, Mr. President?
Well, that's the final comment at the moment. Not surprising what he said, Simon, condemning any kind of violence, obviously.
Yes, absolutely, because this, of course, is not just President Biden, a partisan in the presidential race. This is President Biden, the head of state here in the United States, speaking on behalf of all Americans and making it clear, as he said there, that there is no space for political violence in the United States. But by phrasing it in that way, Clive, he is absolutely confirming that this, they believe, at a law enforcement level, was an act of political violence. And while President Biden quite rightly at the end there said he doesn't have precise information, so he can't say that this was an assassination attempt. That is evidently the working theory that law enforcement is now pursuing. I thought it was interesting also that he said twice that he's going to try to reach the man that he referred to by the first name only, Donald. Mm. He's going to try and reach Donald Trump by phone during the course of the next period, because I think he will want to reach out to his rival and convey his concerns and anxieties about what has taken place. You know, there is, as we all know, absolutely no love lost between these two men that are vying for the nation's highest office. And yet Joe Biden now finds himself in a position where, because he's not just head of government, but he's also head of state, and also because, like the rest of us, he's also shocked by the events of the last couple of hours, he is going to reach out to Donald Trump and to members of his family directly. All of this, as I was saying, coming at a critical moment in this presidential election campaign, at a time when, let's be frank, President Biden has spent the last 2 weeks fighting for his own political career, trying to salvage his candidacy, as a growing number of Democrats, including some just within the last few hours, have called for him to drop out of the presidential race. He's trying to damp all of that down. Now, suddenly, a massive corner turn in the story of this presidential election. As Donald Trump is injured at this rally in Pennsylvania after either being struck by a bullet or by glass fragments that may have been caused by a bullet shattering the screen of the teleprompter that he was using to make that speech. But either way, these iconic images of defiance by Donald Trump that his campaign will assuredly use in the months ahead, in the 4 months between now and November the 5th, to advance his presidential aspirations. And, you know, this is a moment, I think, where both political campaigns will have to start not just dealing with the human consequences of what has taken place here. And, you know, for the Trump people, according to the district attorney in Pennsylvania, at least one attendee at this rally was killed and another reportedly in serious condition. So the Trump campaign, I think, will want to offer support and condolences for the families affected there. But both campaigns will also simultaneously, I think, be weighing up the political consequences of this, because, you know, unfortunately, we're in the middle of an election campaign, and events like this have the capacity to shift the narrative and shift the dynamic of the election campaign significantly. There is also going to be, and you heard one reporter asking President Biden, he walked away and he didn't answer the question, whether there was a security lapse. I just want to underscore that it is, you know, when there are rooftops overlooking major political events that are being addressed by sitting or former presidents, under normal circumstances, they are absolutely under Secret Service purview and surveillance. So if it indeed turns out to be that the shooter never even attempted to gain access to the rally, was outside the security perimeter on the roof of this barn, able to train his weapon at Donald Trump and at the crowds at the rally, there will be, I think, massive questions for the Secret Service about why that rooftop and potentially others around the venue were not made secure. I mean, I have personal experience of this because I'm in Minneapolis tonight because I'm on my way to Milwaukee for the convention. But back in Washington, D.C., we actually, in our office, have a rooftop that looks directly down on the White House. And we talk to the Secret Service all the time about activities on that rooftop. It is routinely screened by the Secret Service. They come by, they work with us and the building in which we're located. And so it is highly unusual for someone to be able to train a rifle on a sitting or former president, or whatever weapon was being used in this case, from a rooftop overlooking a venue outside a security perimeter. And that is going to fuel all sorts of questions for the Secret Service, an agency that everybody who's watched the video can see reacts incredibly rapidly at the scene in terms of protecting President Trump and tending to his wounds. But it is an agency that over the last few years has been in tremendous difficulty, with particularly questions about the leadership of the agency that at one point resulted in a change of leadership at the top of the Secret Service. So huge questions to answer, but I think we are getting more clarity over what occurred. It wasn't that the gunman appears to have breached security by getting a weapon past the magnetometers. It doesn't look like he ever went through the magnetometers. He simply clambered aboard the roof of that building overlooking the venue, and from there was able to launch his attack.
But we're not entirely clear whether he was grazed by a bullet or a pellet or whatever. I mean, we do think it was an actual gun with bullets, do we now? Because initially people were saying it was more of a popping sound and it could have been pellets, a BB gun or something like that, and the other shots could have been the Secret Service.
Well, the Secret Service are describing him as a shooter. And right. That has legal connotations. That indicates that this was a man with a gun of some kind. And witnesses who saw him on top of that barn or whatever the structure was overlooking the venue have described the weapon that he was carrying as a rifle. Now, the sound of the gunfire does not, to my untrained ear, sound like he was using an AR-15 assault rifle, but it certainly sounds like gunfire. Donald Trump appears to have been struck. There are multiple reports that he was struck by glass fragments, but he was certainly struck by some kind of projectile. And the fact that at least one person attending the rally was killed and a second person was left in serious condition, with witnesses at the scene, many of them elected members of Congress, saying that there were considerable amounts of blood at the scene and in the crowd, suggests that this was an assault with a deadly weapon of some kind. What caliber weapon he was using, we don't know, but it certainly appears to have been some kind of weapon. So there will also be, of course, an investigation into the shooter's motivation. I mean, President Biden and everybody, law enforcement, everybody here talking about it as an act of political violence would suggest that this was indeed politically motivated and that they have some preliminary evidence for making that claim. But we still need to know a lot more about who carried out this attack. Other statements that have come in, Barack Obama, there is absolutely no place for political violence in our democracy. Although we don't yet know exactly what happened, we should all be relieved that former President Trump wasn't seriously hurt and used this moment to recommit ourselves to civility and respect in our politics. And a statement by former President George W. Bush, Laura and I are grateful that President Trump is safe following the cowardly attack on his life, and we commend the men and women of the Secret Service for their speedy response. Again, former President George W. Bush characterizing this there as an attempt on Donald Trump's life. And that is certainly the terms of reference that the Secret Service and other law enforcement agencies appear to be using as they have sealed the venue off and as their investigations get underway.
And, I mean, isn't there a certain irony here, though, talking about political violence and condemning political violence? But, you know, Donald Trump is associated with political violence and what happened at the Capitol. And in fact, the very way he reacted with this fist in the air, and he appears to be saying, fight, fight, fight. I mean, that's not really condemning political violence. Some would say he has been responsible for creating some of the violence that appears to be in US politics now.
Well, I think it is undeniable that Donald Trump has contributed to the rise of political violence in this country. We all witnessed that on January the 6th, 2021. He is, of course, facing criminal charges that have been brought against him by the Department of Justice in connection with fomenting that act of violence against the U.S. Capitol 3 years ago. And he has told his supporters on numerous occasions that as soon as he is returned to the White House in January of next year, he plans to begin the process of pardoning at least some of the more than 400 people who have already been found guilty of committing crimes in the assault on the Capitol of January the 6th 3 years ago. And some of those 400 people have been sentenced to jail and are serving jail sentences now. But I think it's also important, Clive, to underscore that while there is no question that Donald Trump has fueled, particularly in that case, political violence is no stranger to the United States. Mm. The assassination of John F. Kennedy, still unresolved, still not entirely satisfactorily explained as far as many Americans are concerned. The assassination of Martin Luther King, the assassination of Malcolm X, the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan on March the 30th, 1981. I mean, unfortunately, American history, you know, going all the way back to the assassination of President Abraham Lincoln in the Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C. American history is littered with acts of political violence. This is taking place in a country where weaponry, guns, many of them weapons of war, as opposed to weapons that can be defined as useful to hunters, for example, are readily available. Ammunition can be purchased over the counter in many states across the country, in those sort of big box department stores that exist across the United States. There is a there are acts of gun violence, mass shooting incidents taking place across the United States on a continuing basis. And, you know, this is a violent culture in which we live.
Yeah.
But we are also witnessing the most febrile, polarized presidential election campaign that any of us can remember covering. And every single one of us covering this election campaign and all the people participating in it know every single morning when they wake up that an attack against one or both of the candidates is possible, that that is the nature of the atmosphere in which we unfortunately find ourselves in the United States now, and of course in which, you know, British lawmakers have faced being tragically on the receiving end of political violence on your side of the Atlantic as well.
Absolutely. Can I just ask you one more question as well? You talked about the political ramifications of this on the election itself. Some people I'm hearing saying now, obviously a lot of commentators coming in on this, a lot of people are saying, well, that's it now, Joe Biden's lost. This is going to play so well for Donald Trump. Do you see it that way?
Well, I think certainly that the imagery that has been captured at the scene by particularly the Associated Press photographer Evan Vucci is undoubtedly going to be used again and again and again throughout this campaign by Donald Trump's strategists. It is imagery that they will argue defines the personality of the man. Absolutely determined, a fighter, someone who they will argue is able to deal with anything that the world throws at him. And I'm sure we'll be hearing from President Trump before the night is out, former President Trump. I'm sure he will want to get in front of cameras and tell from his perspective of what he has endured over the last couple of hours, and also express concerns about people in the crowd that were caught up in this violence. I think that, you know, we know that President Joe Biden has spent the last 2 weeks literally trying to save his own candidacy, a process that is still ongoing. There is polling that is allowing some Republicans, as they begin to head to Milwaukee for the convention that gets underway on Monday afternoon, to dare to dream of a possible landslide, because they are seeing, and we were reading only today, that the Biden campaign has basically given up already on some of the critical battleground states where this election will be won or lost. Those are the states that sometimes vote Republican, sometimes vote Democratic, but always decide the outcome of every presidential election. So the Biden campaign only earlier today, before this all happened, was conceding that their path to victory was narrower than the path that they had previously hoped to wander down. And these images of a bloodied, disheveled President Trump, fist pumping, encouraging his supporters to fight before he gets into that armored vehicle. He stands up on the side of it. I mean, the Secret Service want to get him in because they can't be certain at that point that the threat is over, but he still stands up on the side of the vehicle and fist pumps again. Those are images of defiance, and many Trump supporters will say bravery and courage, that prove that he is absolutely ready to lead the country. And I think that for the Biden campaign, in pure political terms, the events of the last 2 or 3 hours are going to prove very, very problematic.
Thank you very much, Simon. Simon, no doubt, will be keeping us informed. Simon Marks, their LBC's Washington correspondent, will bring you more news as it comes in through the morning.